This morning we want to talk about the verse, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 1:15, because this is the theme verse of the Gospel of Mark. Mark is not concerned with just telling stories about Jesus, not concerned with writing a predominantly historical account. His purpose is to proclaim the gospel so that more people come to faith in Jesus Christ. The first line of the gospel reads, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God." However, our own Dr. Veltz said that this verse is best translated, "The beginning of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God," because Mark is all about proclamation. And so the Greek text does allow for this with the word that is used there. And so this is Mark's intent. And Mark 1:15 is then the verse of what that proclamation is. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand" simply means there's no more waiting. The promises of God are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. God is here and staring you in the face, is what one commentator says. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is now here. So what is the kingdom of God? This term is active and living. It means the rule and reign of God. The rule and reign of God is now. The children of Israel went after idols, and God promised, threatened, that at some point judgment would come on what is called the day of the Lord. He promised to visit the people with judgment. However, he also promised another visitation when there would be ultimate judgment, but also ultimate salvation, including the presence of God, the renewal of creation, the forgiveness of sins, the pouring out of the Spirit, the coming of the reign of David. The announcement of Jesus Christ that the rule and reign of God draws near announces the visitation of Israel's God upon the people. It has now commenced. Jesus is here. The final day of the Lord is coming. This will happen, but it happens now in the person of Jesus Christ. The old age, the rule of Satan, will not totally disappear yet. What Christ brings is a foretaste of the rule and reign of God. The full consummation is yet to come. Therefore, when Jesus comes, he doesn't heal every illness. He doesn't cast out every demon. He doesn't raise every person from the dead. People are simply being confronted with what the kingdom of God is like. This is a taste of what will be fully consummated at the end of time. We can see what is to come in the person, work, and ministry of Jesus Christ. So, what must I do to be saved? repent and believe the gospel, Jesus Christ. By his presence and word, the rule and reign of God comes to us. Repent is the call, and the tense of the verb demands that it be now. The waiting is over. The same thing with the word believe. It's not something where you can kick the can down the road. Now that Jesus is here, now's the time. Not tomorrow, today. So where is the rule and the reign of God in the world now? Jesus is no longer physically walking with us, but his rule and reign in this world is in the church, for that's where he's present. First, he's present in his word as he speaks to us through that word. He calls us to repentance, to turn from our sin, to leave behind our sinful behavior. But this word also calls on us to believe. To believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring the rule and reign of God into our lives. By his victory, by his forgiveness. Only he can bring the kingdom of God to us in this world. He is the one that God promised would make the difference. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for the kingdom of God to come to us, and that the devil, the world, and our flesh would not get in the way of the kingdom of God coming to us. Further, Christ is present in the Lord's Supper, giving us his very body and blood with bread and wine, to forgive us, to strengthen our faith in him, and to empower us to live in God's kingdom even now. But there is truly a now and not yet factor here. The rule and reign of God is here now. We are living proof of that as believers in Jesus Christ. The rule and reign of God is here in word and sacrament, but it is not yet fully realized in our lives or in the world. The world does not acknowledge the rule and reign of God in the church. That will only come at the end of time, when it is fully consummated and it is here for us forever. This verse, then, is the basis of the Gospel of Mark. He wants the hearer to repent and believe in Jesus Christ because he is the only one that will bring to us the very kingdom of God. No more waiting. Today. No more time. Immediately, as Mark says over and over, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Because Jesus is staring the people right in the face. And he's doing the same now through his word and sacrament in this place. The time is not tomorrow. The time is now. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the recurring message of Mark throughout this book. All right, questions?
Jane, right next to you, I'm sure.
Well, Pastor, I was just going to ask you about that very verse because I just couldn't get over that Jesus said that. The time is fulfilled, repent and believe. I thought John the Baptist said that.
No.
But John was just arrested. But I just had to read that two or three times because Jesus would speak more in parables and sort of hidden meanings, and I just couldn't believe Jesus actually came out so boldly and said, the time is fulfilled, repent and believe.
But that's not the only time he did it. If you go to the Gospel of Luke, he goes to his hometown and there he reads from the scroll of Isaiah 61. And he sits down and all eyes are on him. And what does he say? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So it's not the only place that Jesus made it clear. And he said on other occasions to people he was speaking with, the kingdom of God has come near. Which means, I'm standing right next to you. Yeah. Jan.
A question came up regarding John's baptism.
Yes.
We believe the baptism today brings with it the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The baptism of Jesus, all three persons were there. So are we saying then that the Holy Spirit was not present in John's baptism of repentance?
No, you can't say that because we always link the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But John knew nothing of the Holy Spirit in all likelihood. And as I pointed out in Leaders, there must have been a difference, and this is hard to pin down. Because when Paul went on his journeys, and I think it's in Acts 19, he finds people who have been baptized with John's baptism. He teaches them Jesus Christ and then baptizes them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So, the baptism of repentance for forgiveness, we would certainly say that through the preaching of John, the Holy Spirit changed hearts. But in the baptism of Jesus, in Christian baptism, there must be blessings beyond what John gave.
So we would say bringing someone to repentance is certainly a working of the Holy Spirit.
A working of the Holy Spirit.
But bestowing the Holy Spirit the way we understand it today.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct. Yeah, and that's difficult. That's difficult, but all the writers make that distinction. There's very few that will say they were equivalent. Because John himself said, there is one mightier than I who is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't attribute that to himself and his baptism. So we just have to take what the Word says and go on. Other questions? There's one in the back. Pat.
Just a further thing on that baptism. The Jews did practice the immersion in water that was it had to be moving water, and it was a sort of a public admission, public washing for confession of sins. And so this this might have been essentially John's carrying on that practice. And what Jesus did was introduced, later in the churches, the all-new baptism.
Yes, baptism was not a new thing. The Jews used baptism. It signified a change, that something was changing in your life. Okay. But Christian baptism is a baptism into Christ's death and the death of the old Adam, and a baptism into his resurrection, new life. Okay, new life. All right, Pat.
Yes, at Jesus' baptism, when God the Father spoke from heaven, who was that audible to?
That is unknown.
Oh.
John, if you read John's account, it sounds like only John the Baptist heard it. That's debated. Who heard the voice from heaven? Certainly John the Baptist. Did all the people? We don't know that. We just don't know.
Okay, the second part of this is, you probably going to tell me the same thing, but I'll try anyway. When it talks about the wild animals,
yes,
it's obviously in God's Word, so we need to know that. And why?
Well, Mark seemed to think that that was important. It's not in Matthew and Luke. Mark thinks it was important to mention it as part of the wilderness. It was certainly part of the wilderness when the Israelites wandered for 40 years. It was certainly a part of the wilderness when the exiles came back from Babylon. There would have been wild animals. Why he mentions it, why he chooses to mention it, I do not know. But certainly the wild animals would have recognized who Jesus was. Okay. They would have been no threat to him. Any more? Oh yeah, we got several more. Wait a minute. Who's next? Fred?
Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It always reminds me of Pentecost, when Christ gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples and they remembered everything that Jesus had done and why he came. Before, man didn't ever really understand.
Certainly the pouring out of the Holy Spirit as Pentecost was the Holy Spirit being poured out as never before. But that's about as far as we can go. That's about as much as we can say about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's kind of, his work is critical, but he doesn't want to be known. He wants to be behind the scenes and work to point people to Christ, to work faith in Christ. That is why we get into so much trouble when we begin to exalt the Holy Spirit. That's why certain church bodies, in exalting the Holy Spirit, don't put the emphasis on Christ and begin to make statements like, if you can't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian, because the Holy Spirit has become more important than Christ. So the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to know a whole lot about him. There's not that much in there about him. He just wants to point us to Christ over and over again. More?
In Psalm 51, where it says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Is that the same Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
David was fearful that after he had committed the indiscretions with Bathsheba, that it was so serious that God would take his Holy Spirit from him. And so he prayed that. Yes. Anything else? All right. Do you have any announcements? None? All right. We'll continue next week. Let's close. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.